is the UR Business Network.
This is Irving Stackpole, and welcome to the Medical Travel Show. It is an absolute delight to have Edwin McCarthy, Ed McCarthy, with me today, who is the Vice President of International Business at Partners International, which is the healthcare international healthcare subsidiary of Partners here in Boston, Massachusetts. And I say here in Boston, Massachusetts, because we're right down the road from each other today. Right, Ed?
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to be here with you. And I want to ask you, how did you find your way into international healthcare?
That's a good question. It wasn't a master plan when it first started, that's for sure. Looking back, maybe it becomes more of a plan. For me, I've been in healthcare in general since the early 80s, starting out in the field of aging and gerontology at the University of South Florida doing research. And I came back to Boston in the late 80s for a graduate degree at Harvard, after which I went to work for a consulting company in the Boston area. And the one of the first assignments I had as a consultant in the healthcare practice was to become a resident of in the Middle East to develop a healthcare program for oil companies that were clients of our consulting firm. That led me into kind of a direct interaction with overseas hospitals, overseas clinicians, both in terms of their interest in developing healthcare businesses, as well as their what I observed was a strong interest in working with, at that time at least, U.S. Medical centers, of which I had affiliations from my prior life. And after I spent 3 years in the Middle East building a healthcare practice there, including developing some ties with Boston-based academic medical centers on behalf of some of my Middle Eastern clients, I came back to Boston and was running an independent consultancy for about 3 or 4 years, and I was hired to do the first international strategic plan for the Partners Healthcare System. And that exercise really got me directly involved in primarily medical travel, although I don't think we really called it that at the time, as well as other aspects of healthcare work that we in the academic field do internationally. But the major focus was in trying to develop patient referral programs from overseas locations to the teaching hospitals of the Partners Healthcare System, which are the Mass General Hospital, the Brigham and Women's Hospital, and we have several specialty hospitals affiliated with Harvard as well. So there was a heavy focus on trying to make the programs effective in meeting the goals of the referral sources, which in the case of the Middle East were governments primarily, and in other locations, working with insurance companies, Bermuda, for example, and increasingly over the years with other private groups that have begun to become much more active in this sector. So that's a kind of an overview of how I got involved and the direction I've taken.
Well, that's a pretty indirect route into international healthcare. And I think if we were to retrace steps in many careers, they would have a similar path. What's impressive, I think, is the nature of the relationship that you have with these institutions. You've mentioned Harvard, you've mentioned Mass General, you've mentioned Brigham and Women's. These are all enormously powerful brands. I was just wondering, in the Middle East in particular, where it sounds like you've got quite a background, what sort of impact do these brands have in that marketplace, that market area?
There's probably many dimensions to that question. I think brand is important. It has been the principal asset that healthcare institutions have in attracting both patients and other types of business actors to us, because largely healthcare, I would say today, is still heavily dependent upon reputation as opposed to quantifiable, standardized metrics for comparing quality. So brand serves as the primary way by which clients in general, whether they're patients or physicians or insurance companies, evaluate hospitals, particularly when they make choices about where to receive care or where to refer patients for care. So brand is a critical component. I think branding is, of course, always a challenge for an organization, and the challenges we face in ours have to do with the fact that we are more of a family of brands than any one brand. While our hospitals are longstanding teaching affiliates of Harvard Medical School, we are not owned by Harvard, and Harvard is not directly involved in what we do. What the connection is in our case is the faculty. About 95% of the physicians on staff at our teaching hospitals hold Harvard appointments, so they are the Harvard faculty. But the hospitals are not owned by Harvard, and that relationship is indirect. Right. So that can make for a long description when trying to explain to a potential customer how you who you are and how you relate to Harvard, which happens to be the best known of our affiliated brands. And so we are constantly wrestling with ways to improve clarity around our branding strategy.
You really have a plethora of riches there in the branding category, don't you?
Well, yeah, you can look at it in two ways. One is that we have no shortage of institutions that are both interested and capable of delivering high-quality care or of getting involved in relationships to do training and education. I think from a marketer's point of view, it has other challenges because of the complexity of the relationships between Harvard and the hospitals and even between the hospitals themselves. And if you put all of those brand names under a Partners umbrella, Partners itself is not the brand we're trying to promote. Partners is kind of the unifying element in terms of building business relationships. And so I would say the challenge for us is to try and bring clarity to that situation.
Right. So with regards to the Middle East, again, seems like you've got quite a strong history, legacy of relationships there. With the news almost seems every week that Dubai or Abu Dhabi or some other destination, some other location in the Middle East is building a new hospital or developing a relationship with a world-renowned clinic or doctor. With the development of infrastructure there in the Middle East, are you finding that more consumers will stay in the Middle East to receive medical services, or do you see that there are still those consumers who, regardless of what will happen in the Middle East, will travel to the United States preferentially?
Mm-hmm. I believe the answer is yes to both those questions. Let me explain. I think the structure of the healthcare marketplace, and it's probably more of a plural marketplaces than any in one thing in the Middle East, has been undergoing significant change for a number of years. Anybody who pays attention is aware of that. As you've described, tremendous infrastructure development, training and education is the next wave of activity that both governments and private sector are investing heavily in. As a result, the healthcare capabilities of the region are expanding, which is both actually attracting more patients to some of these destinations in the Middle East from outside the region. At the same time, we see longstanding patterns of overseas care from the Middle East continuing. In fact, in my opinion, I think it's growing. And so demand does not seem to be diminished at all in terms of what we see in the East Coast of the United States in terms of Middle Eastern business coming to us. But I think it's much more diverse, and there's certainly more competition for it than there has been in the past. So from a patient perspective, I would say it's a very dynamic marketplace. It's hard to predict in very simple terms whether business will be affected in the long run by these things. Let me rephrase that. I think it definitely will be affected, but the winners and losers, I think, are not necessarily sorted out yet. So that's a work in progress. And it's not the Middle East alone. There are certainly other regions with profiles that are not dissimilar and that represent both opportunities for hospitals such as ourselves and investors. And certainly governments as they look to diversify their healthcare capabilities.
Certainly is an interesting point that there will be winners and losers. I wonder if we could agree that the winners will be consumers, because as the healthcare infrastructure develops, as transparency improves, and as providers and regions compete for these consumers, also known as patients and their families, that the patients and the families will benefit from this higher level of transparency.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it's a statement that certainly I agree with in principle. I think from there's a lot of variation in practice in terms of how that is being achieved or not. So I think have to look at different providers, and you have to look at different markets to kind of break it down and understand it in more detail. But I think as an overall trend, I would agree with that. Certainly, if the conditions do come into play that you described, more transparency, more of a level playing field in terms of standards being agreed to, both within markets and across markets, so that comparisons can be made both on quality and cost, those are the conditions that really would ultimately benefit the consumer and the patient.
Indeed. You also mentioned that some of these dynamics are playing out in other marketplaces around the world. Would you care to share your thoughts about that, where those marketplaces might be?
Well, I think, there's no shortage of interesting stories to look at, and just a couple that come to mind, because I've spent the last week looking at these. In the case of Bermuda, for example, it's a small country, small population, that will always be more than likely in the position of requiring overseas care. Certainly for tertiary care and for some degree of their secondary care as well, just because of the limitations of what their local healthcare system can provide. And for certainly many East Coast institutions in the United States and in Canada, and to a certain degree a few other countries in Europe, Bermuda business has been a source that they've looked to. And traditionally it's been less price sensitive than it is today. I think we've certainly seen a renewed emphasis on aggressive pricing in order to participate as a provider in referral networks. And we've had to respond accordingly to maintain our position in that market. And so that, in my view, is an example of a direction for a part of the overall medical travel marketplace that represents opportunities for many hospitals, but perhaps not all hospitals. As we look at the world, we try and understand where we're best able to compete, given our pricing structures and given our capabilities. And so we will look at other places. So another example would be China, at which for us, has not been, like Bermuda has, a long-standing, kind of naturally geographically oriented referral source. given the distance, given the cultural and language differences. And yet we find that over the last 3 to 4 years, a significant upsurge in Chinese patient referrals occurring to our institutions. And with that upsurge has come a host of challenges to better understand how to meet patient expectations, because they're quite different from that part of the world than we have been accustomed to. So we've had to learn from that experience. And China, I believe, given its size, which is an interesting contrast to the first example, Bermuda, represents probably a short-term opportunity, maybe a decade, maybe two, but a very, very large one, given its scale and the number of people now that have the financial resources to consider traveling abroad for care. It's remarkable to me how many of them are willing to not only leave the country, but to fly outside the region. And if they're going east, to fly over the west coast of the United States and the center of the United States all the way to the east coast. So these are not characteristics that we expected out of China, and yet we see them in play right now, and we're trying to build relationships that can sustain them as long as possible, because in this case we think we have a lot to offer to Chinese patients, and we would like to participate in that. So those are, I think, two very different examples of opportunity and change in the marketplace. 10 years ago, people here thought Bermuda business would always kind of come and would always be a relatively natural, easily accessible market to us. I think that's changed. And nobody foresaw China as a significant source, and so that's occurred as well. So you can't get settled in your ways and expect things to stay the same. I think you have to be prepared to make changes as they present themselves.
I think that's very good advice, and certainly good observations. And you couldn't have drawn on two more diametrically opposed examples than Bermuda and China. I think that's terrific. I think it also highlights how early we are in the overall development, deployment, and penetration of international medical care when you have such two broadly divergent examples beginning to emerge, as you said, between Bermuda and China. In the last few minutes that we have, and there's certainly any number of issues that you've raised here, Ed, that I would just welcome the opportunity at another subsequent interview to delve into the branding, insurance that we didn't really broach the subject of. I'd like to ask you to share with the audience how they can get in touch with you if they want to.
Well, certainly. I'm always talking to people interested in or active in the industry and trying to build relationships that can help achieve mutual objectives, and so I would encourage that. I have probably the easiest way to reach me is by email, and my email is very simple, E.J. McCarthy, which is MCCARTHY, at partners.org. So I would welcome emails and, you know, would do my best to respond if I can. Can I offer any other comments or advice before we sign off?
Well, this is terrific, Ed. I think that the subjects that we raised from both a business and international travel point of view are fascinating, and we could delve into any of them, but we're out of time. And as good conversations generally go, they are over quickly. It seems like they are anyhow. And so my guest today has been Ed McCarthy, Vice President of International Business at Partners International, the international healthcare subsidiary of Partners Healthcare based in Boston, Massachusetts. I want to thank you again, Ed, and say thank you for listening to the Medical Travel Show. This is Irving Stackpole, and I'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
You're listening to the UR Business Network.